Well, greetings in the name of Jesus. It is a blessing to be here. My soul is well fed already. I feel like in many ways the message is already preached. I guess the words of from James that Mike shared, that's really, if I got that, I got it. We ought to say, if the Lord wills, and our life is like a vapor. And yeah, when Steve texted me this morning, and first of all, it was a heads up, he's not feeling good. Yesterday was feeling good. Actually, I should back up. On Thursday, he had called and he was just wondering, I struggle with acid reflux a lot. He was just kind of, we had an acid reflux conversation, and then he told me he was in the ER that day, and that's when he was diagnosed with acid reflux. And then yesterday, he said he's feeling fine, and then this morning was an early heads up, and then at about 7:30, he said he's just not feeling good at all. And so I thought, I know what that meant. That meant let's find something to share quickly. And it was almost instantly that I just was drawn to John chapter 17. So that's where I'm going to go for a... I told my wife, I'm not sure if it's going to be a scripture reading or a meditation or a sermon. So we'll find out. But let me say it like this. When you're on somebody's prayer list and they tell you, there's something really special about that, right? And maybe, I'm sure you all had the experience sometime in life where somebody said, I'm praying for you. In fact, this morning, a couple brothers, I am praying for you. That just means a lot. I remember hearing a testimony of an older lady who was a prayer warrior, and just seemed everybody knew it. And I'm told, if I remember the story right, there was so many, you know, mission organizations and people that just wanted to get on her prayer list. She was so in tune with God, and it was notable that her prayers were answered. You may or may not have read George Mueller, and the prayer warrior that he was, and some of the amazing answers, sitting down at the table at orphanage with lots of children around the table with no food, and he prays and thanks the Lord for the food they're about to eat, and knock on the door, and here's the food. Things like that. Well, I was drawn to John 17, and I want to remind all of us this morning through the Word that we were prayed for and are being prayed for by someone that is far more effective of a prayer warrior than the nameless lady I was referencing, George Mueller, or anyone else. It was Jesus himself. So I want to just read through John 17, and I want us to be inspired and encouraged to know that Jesus prayed for us. That's if you're a believer. And I also want us to, from this reading, I also want us to be motivated to pray for each other. So if you want to title, Jesus Prayed for You, or Jesus' Prayer for You. In John 17, I'm just going to read through this beautiful passage. And I'm breaking into one of my favorite sections of Scripture, John 13, the beautiful feet washing Scripture. John 14, it is powerful. Words from Christ as he talks about the Holy Spirit coming and so on. And John 15, John 16, I'm not going to try to unpack those chapters, but it's basically all red words, all words. Christ is just pouring out his heart before he goes to the cross. And then at the end of chapter 16, he says, in the world you're going to have trouble or tribulation. Be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. These words spake Jesus. I'm in John 17. This is the text. He lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, and that thy Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as have given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thy own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. So much theology in there. Verse 6, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou hast gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept my word. Now that they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I have come out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. Okay, I'm going to stop right there. Just before I go through the specific prayer, Jesus is going to pray. And this is not just a prayer for the disciples, but it's a prayer that Jesus looked forward. And if you believe in Christ, he prayed for you. And if you want to flip forward, and my Bible, I have to turn forward, front of page in verse 20, it says, neither I pray for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. So, in other words, the word's going to go forth, and anybody that believes on Jesus Christ is included in this prayer. So I take great comfort in that. I am comforted that when Jesus lifted up what we're called the high priestly prayer, I'm included. You're included. So I just want to walk through this prayer. Remember, I want you to just be encouraged that Jesus prayed for you. And I want you to be motivated, maybe even to use this prayer as a prayer to pray for others. So the prayer this morning was pray for Brother Steve. And sometimes I'm not sure how to pray. You know what I mean? And I think sometimes we can get so many nuggets from the Word of God in even how to pray. So we're going to go through some of that. But before I go through start reading at verse 9, I just was motivated to stop. When Jesus says, I have finished the work thou gavest me to do, there's a lot of I haves in the verses that I read. I have, I have, I have. I've finished the work. I have manifested thy name. Verse 8, I've given the words to them. So I have. And you don't know. Mike read those verses from James. Our life is like a vapor. You have no idea when your life is going to end. I have no idea when my life is going to end. If your life would end tomorrow. In fact, I don't know what motivated Joyce and I have this conversation. I think it was last week. You know, if I knew I was, it's all over, all done. I have failed, I have regrets, but for the most part, the energy, in other words, I want to be able to say that my life was about the kingdom. And can I say, here Jesus, I've finished the work you gave me to do. You're thinking of Apostle Paul. I've ran my course. I've kept the faith. I've run the race, finished my course, kept the faith. I can't think of a better thing to say at the end of life. I don't care if I'm 55. I don't care if it would have happened when I'm 35 or 75 or 95 or 105. Is there a better thing to say? I've finished the work that you gave me to do. I want that to motivate you, and I want it to motivate me. That's a powerful statement that Jesus could say with an honest, open heart to the Father. And Paul could too. Now, I just want to read through John 17, starting at verse 9, and I'm just going to maybe stop a couple times and make a few comments. He says, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. All mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I'm glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father. Okay, let me just stop right there. And that was just a lot of theology again. Mine are thine, thine are mine. I'm coming to you, Father. I'm not really praying for the world in this prayer. I'm praying for yours. What's yours? And he's saying that I'm leaving. I'm no longer in the world, but these are. These folks that I'm praying for, and includes you and me. We're in the world. We're not of the world, but we're in the world. So because of that, I find it interesting. One of the first specifics that I find in this prayer is the next word, keep. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept. None of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now I come to thee. These things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. Let me just stop there. And I just want to emphasize that first, the first specific that I see is just keep. Keep them. I think you're as aware as I am that we need a hedge. We need protection in the world we live in. This world is not our home. This world has an allurement to make it our home. This world has so much, and we need a keeping power. And Jesus is saying, Father, keep them, keep them. I think that's a noteworthy prayer for us as well. Whether it's our children, whether it's our brothers and sisters, keep. We need a keeping power. I already said it in verse 13. He says that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word. The world hates them because they're not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray that you wouldn't take them out of the world, but that thou should keep them from evil. Maybe this is in the same point as keep them, keep them. The world is so evil. But don't take them out of the world. Wouldn't that be wonderful to come to Christ and be taken right up to glory? But his will is that we stay in this world to do his work. But there is a powerful nugget in verse 13. It says that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. And I hear the heart of Jesus saying, let my people be joyful. Let them be joyful. Recently I heard about a business place where the service was subpar, and the service was just lacking joy. There was no life. It's like, you're a bother, you're a burden. And I am convinced that one of the most powerful evangelistic tools that we have is joy. A joyful countenance. And I know joy could be an entire message. Joy is not, happiness depends on circumstances, but joy is the inner stability that just carries you through whatever God brings. It's not just submerging to being overcome with sadness and so on. It's not that we never experience some of those emotions, don't get me wrong, but I'm convinced that a joyful person is a very contagious person. I think Jesus specifically prayed for it. Verse 13, my joy fulfilled in them. And we know the joy of Jesus was amazing. And that very same joy, I think Jesus is praying that it would be fulfilled in each one of his people. So I already read down to verse 16. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. And verse 17 says, sanctify them by thy truth. Sanctify them. And I want you to know that if you're a believer, Jesus prayed that you would be set apart. And I know there's different opinions about what that means, what that looks like. But however that translates into your life, I ask you, I ask myself, am I sanctified? Am I set apart for God's purposes? That's how I interpret sanctification. And I believe sanctification is progressive. I think sanctification is a lifelong process. But I'm asking you, I'm asking myself, since Jesus prayed, sanctify them. Are you sanctified? Are you set apart for God's use? Am I set apart? And what does that look like? That would be an interesting thing for you to write out, for me to write out. Are you sanctified? Through thy truth. And then he says, thy word's truth. And I'm going back to the power and the authority of the word of God. Beautiful verse in verse 17, sanctify them. In verse 18, let's continue reading. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I sent them into the world. So let's keep reading. And for thy sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither I pray for these alone, but for them that which believe on me through their word. That's the disciples' word coming right down through the generations. We believed it, and we're sanctified. But I see sanctified and sent are, I would say, synonymous. Maybe this would be one point. Sanctified/sent. And Jesus said here, Father, just like you sent me into the world, so have I sent them into the world. And if you go back to John 20, you'll basically find the same thing where Jesus says, even so send I you. Sent. Think that through. Jesus prayed that just as the Father sent Jesus, we would be sent. My question is, have you ever considered where are you being sent? Sent means somebody sent you. You send a child on a mission. You send, don't ever limit this sending to someone that we call a missionary that leaves father, mother, home, gets in an airplane, goes to another land, and specifically, they're sent. But I am convinced that every single believer is sent. We got orders. My question is, what is my sending? What is my question for you is, what is your sending? That's what I see in the prayer. So, again, we're looking at this passage to be encouraged that Jesus prayed for us, and also that we would be encouraged to pray for others. So when we pray for each other, that's okay. Send them. Now, I don't know if it's quite fair to say Steve was sent to be a witness to the ER. He very well may have. I have heard so many testimonies of people that had medical conditions and were touched and moved by, they touched and moved the hearts of nurses, doctors, and so on. So, sent. We're sent. What does my sending look like? What does your sending look like? And just like we already heard this morning, sometimes we have ways, we have our plans and ideas. But in the Sunday school, I said the message was already preached, and it was. Sunday school lesson, you caught it. As high as the heaven is above the earth, so are my ways above your ways. And I think Jesus sometimes wants us to walk out, look up to the heavens. I mean, it would be one thing just for him to say, the highest tower in Pennsylvania. I don't think I'd have any interest in climbing it. Heights and me, I mean, I'm okay with heights, but not real, real fond of heights. I get these queasy feelings. But the highest tower in Pennsylvania, climb it, and I don't know. I'd get it. My ways, your ways, but then Jesus, some of you have flown, look down from 30,000 feet, and it looks so small down there. And just think of the height difference. And I know we can talk about the first heaven, the second heaven, the third heaven. The point is, his ways, our ways. High. His ways are high, our ways aren't. So, sent. Sometimes our sending is a little different than we think. But honestly, let's say, in light of the Jesus prayer, where are we sent? So go to verse 21. This is so powerful. Jesus again praying. And I wonder if he stopped a little bit, and I wonder if he looked ahead to all the confusion, all the relationship struggles, all the you name it, fill in the blanks. And then I wonder if it was a little heavy heart, he said, "Oh, that they may be one. As thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me." I don't know if I have much more to say than that, but this oneness was so important to Jesus that he just laid it before the Father. He's, "Oh, that they may be one." There is power in unity. Incredible power in unity. I'm convinced I don't understand it. I'm convinced I'm less than a kindergartner in the subject, but I do know there's power in unity, and extreme confusion in disunity. In fact, the Bible even pronounces a woe to the person that sows discord among brethren. The Lord hates it. Jesus said, "Oh, that they may be one." I wonder what would happen if that would be on our prayer list every single morning. Every single morning. Oh, that we could be one. I'm reading through this passage, wanting us to be encouraged that Jesus prayed for this and that we would pray for each other. Let's go on to verse 22. It says, "And the glory which thou gavest me, I've given them, that they may be one, even as we are one." It's kind of the same thought. One. "I in them, and thou in me, that they may be perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and that thou hast loved them, and that thou hast, as thou hast loved me." Well, again, these verses very much overlap, but I think the heartbeat is that we would be one. But also in verse 22, he mentions the glory. Apparently, Jesus was given glory. "The glory which thou gavest me, I've given them." Now, I don't know if I think about that much, that God gave Jesus glory and Jesus gave you and me glory. We carry the glory of God. We do. And actually, we could go into 1 Corinthians 11 and try to expand on that. That's kind of the principle in 1 Corinthians 11 and even the whole veiling principle. But the glory, I guess I like to think of it like this. It's back to the joy, that the joy of Jesus is fulfilled in us. Jesus was given the glory of God, and God gave it to, Jesus passed it on to us. And it's kind of, I've heard the word glory explained already. It's a glory. There's a glow. And maybe we've seen pictures of angels glowing and the halo around them and what have you, but there is something about a glow of a believer. Did you ever meet someone? They're a Christian. I've never met them. They're a Christian. It is a glow. God, Jesus is praying that glow, the glory would be there. And I think that is very, it's kind of nestled in the verses on, "Oh, that they may be one," in the verses on unity. And also, along with that, in verse 23, it says that the world may know. There is something that is a powerful testimony and convincing testimony about to unbelievers. And it's that unity, it's the glory. I think Jesus is saying, "Father, make them a powerful testimony across the world. Make my people a powerful testimony around the world." And now this is about as good as it gets. Look at that's we're just about finished. In verse 24 it says, "Father, I will also..." It's like I'm tacking this on the end. "I will also whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have I known that thou hast sent me, and I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, with that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. You know what Jesus is saying? Jesus is saying, and oh, by the way, Father, if I can say it like that, also, that's how I'm interpreting, Father, I want them to be with me. You know what I hear Jesus saying? Father, I want them to be in heaven with me. Bring them to heaven. And I, of course, that's a prayer when our life's work is over, when we're finished, when we can say, I've finished the course, I've kept the faith, I have done what the Father wanted me to do. Jesus, bring them to heaven. So why? So they can be oohed and aahed over the pearly, the streets, the pearls, the, not even mentioned. We will. In Revelations, we're told about some of the beauties. But here Jesus said, so they can behold my glory. And I, brother, sister, you have no idea what that moment will be like. Hymn writers tried to say it. When we see Christ, Fanny Crosby said, when my life work is ended and across a swelling tide, I can't pull it all together, but in my recollection, she says, when I first see him. And by the way, she was blind, so she was looking forward to seeing Jesus. Jesus wants us to be with him so we can behold his glory. But until then, we need to be kept. We need to be filled with joy. We need to be sent. We need to be all through John 17. And maybe there's another nugget in verse, I'm probably missing so many, but in verse 26, he says, the love that you loved me may be in them. And that's pretty powerful. The love that, the measure that God the Father loved the Son, that's tucked in us. That's more than this person can try to articulate. The love of God is tucked in us. So I pray and trust that this passage of Scripture will be an encouragement, knowing that Jesus prayed for you. And please take some time, especially, we heard Gerald's, their plans. Steve's have the same plan. Why is it that Gerald was thrown some medical things? Now Steve? Is it possible that the Lord wants to call the Waterworks congregation just to spend some serious time interceding? Knowing that Jesus prayed for us, we can turn around and just pray for each other. Keeping power, sending power, the power of joy, the power of sanctification, the power of unity, the power of love, and all those other beautiful things that are tucked away in John 17. I'm not sure what all the Lord, why he orchestrated this service the way he did, but I trust John 17 will be an encouragement to you. So let's all stand for a closing prayer, and then Lee, if you'll have a song. And Father, again, we want to thank you that you're on the throne and that we're not. Your ways are above our ways. Your ways are higher than our ways. And give us all the motivation to just look up to the heavens and remind ourselves of that. But Lord, thank you for the passage that we looked at in John 17 and the beautiful, beautiful pictures we saw one after the other of the specific prayer of Jesus, not only for his disciples, but for us. I pray that you would just, that we all could find comfort in that. And also that we would be motivated and encouraged to pray for each other and not faint by the way. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.